This will be an interview with Mike Huffsmith and his brother about old albino.
That's about the only differentiation there, and seemed to be two separate communities. They had kids there. You wanted to have a gang with you. You got down in the other end, then further east on Williams and Union Avenue over there. You got over there. We used to call it Russianville.
Was that right?
Yeah. There used to be quite a Russian settlement. Isn't that the way you see it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, golly, they had apparently had different parts of town, German settlement, and there was a Jewish settlement in South Portland, and an Italian.
Yeah.
I'd never heard that there were Russians out here.
Over at Union, around in that area there.
Union and Fremont?
Yeah, right around that area.
Uh-huh.
Not in Russell, out in that area there.
Uh-huh.
Not further east, you see the... I think Irvington comes in there, and that was considered sort of quite a residential district.
Mm-hmm.
They started building up as they expanded.
Well, it had already been absorbed by Portland when you as you remember in your life.
Yeah, that's right. It was part of Portland. Of course, my experience when I was a kid was mostly going down to the swimming down on the Willamette River,
mm-hmm.
Sandy Beach. Mike did the same thing a little further downstream, because he was this way and I was coming.
You were over more towards
right here.
Oh, right here.
Right here.
Oh, uh-huh.
See, he was.
Mm-hmm. My folks moved to on Jessup and Camel in 1912,
mm-hmm.
And for, let's see, for the about 7 years previous to that, we lived on San Rafael Street, just east of Union Avenue.
Oh. Mike, what about Mrs. Bird?
Mrs.
She sure knows about down. She lived down there in Albion, remember?
Yes.
And the fellow she married did too.
Her father had that hardware store on Shaver, and was his name Hedeman or?
Halderman. That was they had a furniture store.
Oh, furniture?
Yeah, they did a posting and sold furniture for a number of years.
Yeah.
There
uh-huh.
was two brothers, as I remember.
Well, she's one of that family.
Uh-huh.
Well, what I know about it is that Albion was a pretty tough area.
Yeah, it was. Down there, I remember when I was a kid going down there, we'd walk around the other time, there'd be a couple of kids up there, if you weren't aware of it, that start throwing rocks at you. You don't want to be, it was just kid stuff. They'd probably still do the same thing today, but...
Well, somebody was telling me they used to have a lot of fights over there. They had community ball teams, and they used to have a lot of fights over those. Do you recall anything like that?
Ball teams?
Yeah. Rather than school teams, they were community teams, football and baseball. And
we used to have athletic events.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't follow that too much. Mike may have.
Of course, that was a little bit later, I'll say around in 1925.
Mm-hmm.
Nick played for Albina.
Yeah, they had Albina, and then they have a Kenton or something out here.
Well,
or St. John's.
St. John's.
St. John's, yeah.
John's.
Mm-hmm. They'd get out on a field there and they'd play football and pass a hat around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they play football. And the what they call it, was the S, when the S, or the OW, OWRN had a football field just to the right of Interstate Avenue, just before Interstate Avenue hit Russell Street. Remember, on the right-hand side, there was the flats in there, and they had a football field. I think they called it the Albina Field.
Might have.
I've seen games there.
Well, Interstate, was it called, wasn't it called something else? Patton Street
Patton
or something?
Patton
Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also had, remember about where the restaurant is down there, the Star Sand and Gravel used to, kids used to play baseball down there. They had a, there was a lot, and then they had a heavy board fence there, and they used to haul sand and gravel by horses.
Oh.
They used to kind of keep their horses out there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Dump it. We used to, they had a ball, one that run Maryland and Skidmore or something like in that area, right down there. What's the name of that restaurant there? I was thinking of Henry's, but that's a place down in Los Angeles, or Eagle Rock.
You don't mean Devlin's?
Yeah, that one where you used to serve there.
Eddie Mays?
Yeah.
In that triangle there?
Yeah, I think they were over further.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It used to be a baseball park, or not a, it was a, we used it as a baseball field. Sometimes it used as a cow pasture, too.
In those days, Interstate Avenue ended at Prescott.
Oh, it did.
Mm-hmm. And then there was a high bank there, about 10 feet high, as mm-hmm. I remember, 6 or 8 feet high anyway. And there was a trail that led up over, and then the Russell Shaver car used to come up there and circle and go back. Do you remember that? Well, I lived.
It seems like it too.
Yeah. Well, I lived on. We were married in 24, and we lived out at the very west end of Overlook, way out on the point.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I worked at Denver Market at that time. And to get to Denver Market, I had to go clear up around Michigan to get through the Killingsworth.
Oh, yeah.
At the foot of Interstate Avenue, of course, there was Patton Avenue at that time.
Mm-hmm. But were they all unpaved streets and boardwalks or what?
Mississippi Avenue used to be a plank road.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't recall Shaver, but I know it was that they used to have planks down there. In other words, you go up the mountain, they call them corduroy roads, you know, where you run a broken plank, you hit the bottom of the car springs if you get out there early enough in those days. Mm-hmm. But then they had the tracks going down.
Well, did you get about mostly on the streetcars? Is that the way you...
Yeah, that's the way they had the streetcars running. I think probably stopped at Killingsworth, did it, Mike? Earlier, I know it. We used to have a car down there, Shaver, Mississippi. Or
The Mississippi car, there was two. Ainsworth.
Ainsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every other one, or every so often, now there was a switchback at Ainsworth.
Mm-hmm.
But every other one or every third one would continue on to Kenton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know the one time.
And Kenton was sort of a separate little community, wasn't it,
indeed,
at that time?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then to get, of course, the working attraction was Swift and Company and Shingle Mill and so forth.
Oh, I see.
Then there was another streetcar took over from there. And they called it the Union Stockyards. Now, I don't think that belonged to, it might have, but I don't think it belonged to the same company that operated our city,
mm-hmm. I see.
Which was Portland Traction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, now I know my father worked at Swift, and we lived right up here on Jessup, and to get to Swift and Company out there, he had to ride three different streetcars.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, he'd catch a streetcar on Killingsworth, right straight through here. Go to Albina and Killingsworth, and make a transfer there. That would take him to Kenton.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Kenton, then he would transfer to the stockyards car.
Mm-hmm.
And that would take him, that went out across the flats out there. That was all on Trestle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then out to Swift.
I recall, I guess that must have been the same Trestle, and eventually they ran the cars over to Vancouver, didn't they? Was that the same one?
No, that was...
Because there was a Trestle that went over there, after they built the bridge. When we came here in 1937, they were still using that.
Well, that came down Union Avenue.
That's right,
Down Union.
They went out to Union.
But did they run it? I guess they did after they put the bridge in.
Yeah, they ran to Vancouver and then just looped around over there and came back,
Yes.
We used to take it to go to Jansen Beach.
Yeah, that was the traction over there.
Well, in the real early days, that went up to approximately, and I think it's very close to what is the south end of Interstate of the bridge,
mm-hmm.
and there the streetcar returned to Portland, and you took a ferry to Vancouver.
Oh yeah,
and that's even for me looking back quite a ways.
Yeah,
I have I have ridden that ferry a time or two.
Oh, you have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what other things went on in Albina, in this area, that you can think of? Do you have community events in the parks, or what did you do for amusement? Or did you go over town at that time? Was there a pull over town for everything, or?
No, there wasn't. There wasn't any pull at town. It was just scrambling down, going through the woods, and this is all wooded area.
Lots of wooded area.
When we were kids, Mike would know more about that, but further south there, I think they used to go down there. There used to be an old hole in the ground down south of the, I believe it would be south of the old flour mill. It was a beach, and then there was an old hole in the ground they used to use it, evidently as a sort of a dry dock for ship repair, but even when I was a kid, the pilings were rotted out.
And where was that located?
Well, it was south of the flouring mill toward town. But it was back off the ground. I don't know how they got in there.
It was upriver from Swan Island then, wasn't it?
Yeah, by the way.
Yeah.
See, the Portland Flour Mill is just where you go into Swan Island now, the drive-in.
Yeah.
That used to be called Mill Canyon Road that leads down that valley that goes down in there.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
The flouring mill was there.
What is now Going Street? Is that what you mean? The street that approaches Swan Island?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, there used to be an old house there when I was a kid. I had my bike down there one day. The road was just dirt as far as the heavy rain would be washed out.
Just to go during the rough, it was hard to get in there with a horse and wagon. Remember how the road would go this way, and then when we'd get their heavy rains, they'd go down in there and just
cut it up, wash it out.
Well, I understood that Swan Island was really an island at that time, too, wasn't it? Wasn't it completely?
Definitely. I can find it. How soon do you expect to finish this?
It'll take the rest of summer to get it
done. I have a picture someplace around here that was taken. I hope I can find it. of Swan Island when it was heavily wooded.
Oh, is that so? Probably not. I've never seen that.
I've been over there. I know they're hunting, you know, with a gun, .22.
I know my dad used to fool around down there. He was raised right here near you, too, you know, the Lucia family out here in Willamette, over here on Willamette Boulevard.
Well, now, is your family related at all to Ralph Lucia?
Oh, yeah, he's my cousin.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Ralph and Helen and...
Well, they claim that the Lucia family traded with the Denver market when they were... You know, over there in Willamette, when they that would have been his father and my father. You see, they were kids then, but they're all dead. You see, they can't. I can't. They died young.
Where did they live on Willamette?
The house is still standing. It's about a block or two off of Interstate, not on the bluff part, but on the other where the street comes on down. Well, I'm not sure my direction. But right over in here. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't remember the number, but right close.
Well, I tell you, one outstanding change, I think, is this Mox Bottom here, where this industry is compared to what it was when we were kids.
Yeah,
this trestle out there.
Railroad trestle, we used to fish off of and find a raft or something to catch crappies.
Well, didn't the main channel of the river go on between here and Swan Island?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It was on this side of it.
Yeah. When did they build that railroad tunnel through there? Is that a recent thing? Or,
no,
you know,
that's... I can't...
Or did that go back?
It's always been there.
Has it? You know, under the...
You know, as far as I can...
Under the city that cuts through from...
You know, underneath...
Mox Bottom on over to...
Underneath Portland University.
Oh, the tunnel?
Yeah.
Oh, gee, I think you find that dates way back.
Does it really?
I can, as far as back as I can remember, it wasn't a new thing.
Uh-huh.
So, I'd guess that was put in around the turn of the century.
Uh-huh.
1905, maybe, yeah. I don't know.
Do you recall when... while we're talking about Swan Island, when Lindbergh came to town and landed out there, and I guess it was still an island then, they had to get a boat and go over and get him or something.
They built pontoons across so you could walk across. That's the first
Is
time
that
we ever
right?
walked across, and that was 1927.
Well, was it an airport then, or did he just...
The airport was
Did
the
he
side.
Just pick a good spot?
Well, he picked a good spot, because the airport, Rankin Airport, was on this side of it, see, between the Greeley Street and the... And, the riverbank there.
Yeah, was that Tex Rankin?
Mm-hmm. That was airmail planes from
there.
That was right over our house.
We got up early that morning to go down and watch him lift.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. With Spirit of St. Louis.
Did you get to see him at that time? Mm-hmm.
We saw him from up... See, we lived right out on the point.
Mm-hmm.
So we could look right.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike, we went down there and went across that pontoon and saw his plane, but he wasn't down there when we saw it.
You might have, but I didn't.
Yeah, and we went across there, we could see the plane, but we never got to see him, only with binoculars. Mm-hmm. We swiped somebody's binoculars.
I saw that plane a number of years ago in the Smithsonian.
We did, too. We saw it. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I was, but that time I had been down in school.
You probably were around that time.
Well, another thing you might remember and set me right on the date, because I'm trying to track it, is after they had an airport out there, there was quite a tragedy when an airliner took off one day and crashed into the West Hills. That was when I understood that they decided after that they were going to have to move that airport. But do you know what year that was?
It was when Davis was killed, wasn't it? Wasn't he in
there? There was a very prominent Portland doctor lost his life in that, wasn't there?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. That's why I'm trying to track it.
Would that be coffee? But you know, wasn't that fellow's name Davis, and he lived over here that flew that plane that
went
into
the hills
up
there?
Yes.
What was that, about 33, 34, somewhere?
Yeah, I'm trying to think about what happened by that time. Well, Mike, it was... It was before the war, yeah, quite a while.
Yeah, it was around that area.
Yes.
I remember belonged to...
Because Pat was only 5 years old or 4 years old when he had the airport.
If Lindbergh came in 27 and there was no airport, they didn't really use that as an airport for very long, did they?
It was deep.
No. Not too
excuse
long.
Me, it wasn't officially as an airport, I don't think. I think they used barnstorming, you know, and that
type
of
thing. Yeah, but they had
an
airport down there because they had, when Pat was started the school, and he went down there, the first plane that you could take 12 people on was down there, and the kids all got to go in the cabin.
Well, when Lindbergh came, Swan Island was in the making.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see.
It was in the making. Now, from the mainland, they were building that neck from the Swan Island over to the mainland.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They didn't have it quite completed, but they did have pontoons.
Mm-hmm.
And they walked across these pontoons to get to the Spirit of St. Louis, which was setting out there.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And then soon after that, wasn't there?
So, if that was in 1927, and this disaster could have happened, I think you're pretty close to right. I wish I could pinpoint it, but I can't. 33?
I was going to look it up in the paper when I could get a date, but you don't want to go through 10 years of Oregonians to find it.
I see. I think I knew belonged to Luncheon Club when the fellow was on that plane.
Was that right?
Lost his leg?
No. He had a patch over his eye there when we had...
Oh, some of them got out, did they?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it was a total.
Four or five were killed.
It might have been that... there might have been more than one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recall. But in this case, I don't think it was. Well, there was any fatalities or not, but I know there was one.
There wasn't that one, yes.
Well, did Davis pilot that fatal ship?
Well, I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did.
And he was a pilot. He was a customer at the meat market.
Well, yeah.
What was his first name, Mike? Remember?
I can't answer.
Would Bill Weiss know about that? Because they were on the island before they went out there, weren't they? Weiss's?
Who?
Bill Weiss, wasn't he with United Airlines when they went out there?
Oh, yes.
Well, he'd know about that. That's right. Your man, right. Bill Weiss.
He lives right in your neighborhood, Mr. Lucia. I'll give you his phone number.
Okay.
Good for you.
Because both the Weiss's were down there on the island. It
takes a lot of digging to get these things. Confirm them.
Yeah.
How do you spell
them? Well, once I get a lead, then I know how to go about, finding.
See, he can tell you all about this.
Oh, is that right?
I'm sure he can.
About that accident and everything, I'm sure he can.
You say he was a pilot at that time?
No, he just in the last couple 3 years has retired from.
What was he? Is it something he worked
for
United?
What? United.
Oh.
See, now United started in this locality on Swan Island.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yes.
You mean United is a Portland firm?
I didn't mean it that way. No. I meant their...
That was their airport.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get you.
Uh-huh. In fact, I think United was about the only one that flew out of there.
Uh-huh.
And the Weiss boys... And one of them, I'm going to give you his phone number now. They were mechanics there.
Oh, I see.
And from that time to this, the two brothers have got up to pretty good jobs with the
mm-hmm.
company. Now, Bill, this is Bill Weiss, the older boy by...
W-E-I-S-S? Is that
I think it is. She's mm-hmm. going to look it up. Mm-hmm. And he lives just right close to you now.
Is that right?
And... just recently retired. He's just a devil of a nice fellow. I know he'll cooperate with
me. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he and his brother were mechanics there, or something. I think they were mechanics.
His number is 285-2396.
285-2396.
And he lives at 307 North Russet.
Isn't that pretty close to you, Mr. Lucian?
Not too far, no.
Another thing, I don't know whether it'd be interesting or not, is that little airport restaurant they had down there. And so Mike used to, he used to come up and shop with Mike and make sandwiches, and then they'd have big quart thermos bottles. I don't know, one day, that they, when the plane would come in, he'd have this all ready for them, and they'd serve sandwiches and coffee and thermos bottles. Mm-hmm. That time they didn't have their own.
Didn't have many skirted hostesses serving the meals on board.
I don't know about the hostesses, but
no, I don't.
I think they did.
That was our evening entertainment on a hot night, like we've had to go down there and see that plane lift off at 10 o'clock, and I think the passenger capacity was 12, and we thought, isn't that something?
Yeah. Boy,
well, anyway, he can help you on that, and I just feel very sure that he'll be happy to cooperate.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, I can just get a lead on it. I
really believe he could just go real close to pinpoint it for you.
Well, do you remember any particularly unusual characters from this part of town, or any other part of town that
were? Do you remember as a kid? Do you remember what was the cop down there that they all thought so well of?
Rocky, wasn't it? There was a cop down in Alpine.
Well, they named Murphy. They named the park after him, right there on Russell Street.
Well, is that right?
Hmm. Yeah, they named the park after him. Mike something. Hmm. Yeah. Yes, you bet. Yeah, I'll let you talk to Allie. She's right here. You bet.
What about Andy Larson? He was a good policeman down there too.
Well, the old, right down there at Mississippi and Shavers, that old fire station we were talking about, the horse-drawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Fire station. I don't know whether that's still standing or not, just north of the drugstore on the west side of the street. And they'd have the horses. I remember when a kid and a bell ring, and horses would come out of their stall and get in, the chain would drop automatically.
Is that right?
Yeah, and the horses would walk right up to the of course, they had the harnesses suspended, so they dropped down, and the men would go hitch them up. And then there's old Pat Brown seems to be the sort of master of that. There was a name. He used to take two horses and exercise them up and down Shaver Street. Of course, that was a dirt street.
Shaver was dirt street.
I'm pretty sure it was. Mm-hmm. They had the tracks there. We used to, the old, there's another thing in there, the Thompson, D.P. Thompson Grammar School. I used to go to that, and we'd play marbles along the wagon tracks, you know.
That Thompson School was where?
It's on Shaver, I think it was between Kirby and Commercial, or wait a minute, it was Borthwick and Kirby, either one of the two. They got a big apartment in there now, I think. I haven't been around the area since I came back. We've been down beach and with these freeways and through streets that we have.
Well, they've changed so many parts of the town, you know. They've torn so many buildings down, it's hard to find some of these areas now, really.
I mentioned Stevens, I think. Cap Stevens was the captain in that fire department. They had a fire, I don't know, over here in Maryland or Montana years ago, and I don't know, some way or another, I always got tangled up in the harness and it fell down. And they couldn't get him up. The old cap was all excited. He was hollering for Pat, and they had to untangle the horse to get him back up on his feet there.
We have a picture in some place of the horses that got struck by lightning down on Williams Avenue. electrocuted. Is that what, did he get struck by lightning or electrocuted by the electric?
Well, it, we were having a severe...
picture of Lander severe, dead in the roof. It's awful.
How much we call those silver thoughts?
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe they got down on the trampoline and wrecked.
Well,
I wired down the trampoline and dropped over.
It wasn't lightning, yeah, but I think it was a color. I can't tell for sure.
Here's something that I do remember they had those little waiting stations along the streetcar line. And they were pretty good sized little waiting stations. They had one at Minnesota and Killingsworth. They had one at Gay and Killingsworth. And they had one at Horton Boulevard and Greeley. That was called Arbor Lodge. And then from there on, I don't remember, because if you got much farther than that away from home, you were quite a ways from home. I have seen herds of cattle.
Okay.
It's very quiet, I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. And, the mic is built right into it, you see, so you don't even have to have a mic out there.
Well, that's nice.
It really makes it nice. It helps to back up your notes, you see.
Kind of bring up any questions that, and you can go back.
Yeah, I can go back over it, and it makes it nicer.
But Mike, don't you think Mrs. Bird could help him too, or do you? That fellow she's married to now?
Well, she might. Now, she's about Hutch's age, isn't she, or is she older than Hutch?
And this is Geesey. Did you remember anybody, but what's his name, Geesey now? He lived down there too, and she did too, and then she was married and he wasn't, and not so many years ago, they got married, and they both up and lived down around Albina, because she told about the people that she knew that ran that bakery down there, on Williams Avenue, or was it Williams Avenue, or Vancouver.
What were the names of some of the places like that bakery?
Well, the Log Cabin Bakery, that was over on, wasn't that on Vancouver?
It's right where Wonder is now.
It's
much smaller.
I remember the, used to be a grocery store, Mississippi and Shaver, I think it was Anderson. They had the horse with the wagon and all that take boxes of groceries and deliver it around.
Carl G, wasn't it?
Yeah, by gosh, it was sure.
Carl G.
Gosh, who? Years ago, Helfrich Brothers went in down there quite a number of years back, too.
Carl G. Anderson. Ralph Anderson worked for him when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
What did the Helfrich Brothers, was at a grocery or dry goods?
They moved up here on Killingsworth.
Well, one of them,
I thought that was a familiar name.
Yeah, they...
Oliver moved up here, but the brother stayed down there.
Yeah, he stayed down there for a number of years.
On Mississippi and, what?
Shaver.
Well, maybe you remember it, Ellis. Mississippi and Shaver was a thriving community, business-wise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you remember that.
Well, we came in on the tail end of it. Of course, I didn't move here till 37. My family was here before then, and then, but I was raised in California up to age of 14, and then we moved back up here. But I remember when we used to ride the old Mississippi car to town. That was a good driving area down there.
Did you used to live on up there close to Albertson?
Yeah, we lived in Jessup, in Missouri, before we lived.
Sister Ray.
Yeah.
Well, now Ray was the same age as Jim, our son. They went to school.
Well, I know. I was going to ask when I heard that name, Huss Smith, and wasn't there a daughter too, Helen or something?
Yeah, Helen was a cousin.
Cousin.
There was Jim and Helen and Jean. It was about that same.
Yeah,
thing.
Ray knew them, and the fact is, I think she still keeps in touch with Helen or something.
Yeah.
And she lives out at Oswego now. Yeah, we lived up there.
Because I remember the house she lived in, because it was close to Bosker's.
Yeah, I knew. New Vosper, Vivian Vosper. She was my age, I think.
Well, Shirley's the same age. My niece Shirley O'Reilly was. She went to school. Did you go to Jefferson?
Yeah.
She went to Jefferson.
Yeah, I remember that name. That's getting to be quite a while ago too.
Yes.
I might say that how much greater attraction, community attraction, Peninsula Park was in the early days. It was, of course, due to the fact that people didn't have automobiles.
Uh-huh.
But it was, and they had a ball diamond right in the heart of the park,
mm-hmm.
in that big field just north of the bandstand.
Yeah.
There. And some of the best teams in the city held their games there. Remember the Piedmont Maroons?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And from the Piedmont Maroons, they played good enough ball that a couple of the boys right out of this particular team I speak of went to professional baseball.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Al Bartholomew, he came from down your district, didn't he? Right?
That name's familiar, Mike.
Yeah, Al Bartholomew and
well, they used to have grass tennis courts up there, a couple of stakes on that right out on the grass out there. Mm-hmm. They used to have these ribbon tape staked in to mark the lines when it first started.
Was that in Peninsula too?
That was in Peninsula.
Uh-huh.
Park. And then they built the cement courts.
Well, did they really use that that bandstand too at that time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You never see it in use anymore. They fixed it up.
They used to have a band there
every week, didn't they?
Sure they did. That's everybody went to listen to.
And they put seats out there and several hundred people would come and listen to the... They had some of the better bands coming out.
They could work.
Do you know, or would you happen to remember? I can't find it, but anyway, what Peninsula Park grew from? It was some estate or something? How did it develop? It seems to me there was some special story.
Now that you speak of it, it seems to me that that was contributed to the city by some wealthy pioneer.
Uh-huh.
I have that in the back of my mind.
Well, when I was doing that book for the City Club on their history and on Portland, I ran across that, but I can't find my notes on it or can't remember it, you know. What was the story behind that Peninsula Park?
I can't either. The only thing I can remember as a kid, I just thought there was a peninsula.
You were one of the first ones to register down there.
There was, opposite Jefferson there was a big estate there that Jefferson finally took over.
That's Killingsworth.
Killingsworth
estate.
Oh, yeah.
It was quite a place.
That mansion has been taken down.
I think.
Yeah, where did that stand? I don't.
Well, it was right directly opposite the Jefferson grounds, pretty near.
Well, is that right?
Yeah.
It which was, way was
the
it?
Athletic field.
You mean south or north of it or east of it or what?
Well, I think the entrance to it was on Alberta Street. Just, I'd say, 200-300 feet east of Commercial Street. Wasn't that the entrance to the Killingsworth Estate?
Yeah, it was in there somewhere.
Or did they enter it from Vancouver Avenue? Or maybe there was
I just remember it was in that.
It was a big, beautiful, old thing.
Now, who was Killingsworth?
Killingsworth was a pioneer family here. And even when we were youngsters, there was a Dr. Killingsworth.
Mm-hmm.
And he practiced, I think he had his office in Canada.
But where did the money come from? Lumbering or shipping or what? What was the original?
I can't answer that.
I can't either. In those days, money went a long ways.
Mike, do you know anybody that lived around up there that would know all of that?
When you think of it, when you go around and see some of these big old homes that were built by people that apparently didn't have necessarily too wealthy, it shows what you say, that it must have gone a long way.
Are you familiar with the mock house on the land?
Oh, yeah, that they fixed up? Beautiful, isn't it?
Yes. We drove by there the other morning and he remarked how nice it was kept.
Do the Josephs own that now? Do you
know? I don't know. I can look that up because there's a book out that the Historical Society got out on Portland Landmarks. It's in there.
Now, there's a house out there. It's just this side of... This is something. I've seen it, and I marvel at it. And it's just this side of... It's this side of St. John's, and it's just where Willamette Boulevard goes along there, which leaves only a couple blocks between.
And you go down a little, down the hill or something?
What's the old Benson?
But the Corbett House is in there.
Mike, the Benson.
Benson.
Was it Benson?
The Benson.
You go down a sort of a dead-end street, don't you? Mm-hmm. And it's right in there, great big. Yeah, I never knew whose it was. That's the old Benson.
Yes.
I'll be darned.
The same fellow that gave the park up there and had the Benson Hotel.
That's the Benson at the Benson Hotel.
Isn't that interesting? Yep. We went down there one time, just happened to run on it, and I never could find out whose it was.
But we're pretty close to this situation because the Wicklands managed the Camel Court. Now, this is very recent. This wouldn't be.
Uh-huh.
But... One of the people that lived there, it was a hotel where they
lived
right
there.
A residence hotel, isn't that what they call them?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this old lady Benson lived with them there, and she told them about it. And so we went over there, and it is something to see.
We never got inside, just saw
around.
Oh, never.
I'd love to get inside.
No, I would too.
Well, due to the fact that the work that you're doing, I wonder if they wouldn't accept you.
No, I might go down and find out. They can know more than say no. I've had no said before.
Yeah, you know about where it is, don't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. While we're on that particular subject, I kind of am thinking of devoting a chapter to the Old Portland Hotel. And I'm trying to track down people who have, particularly people that work there. Would you know anybody that was there or had good memories of the old Portland Hotel?
Mr. Lucia, this is my sister, Mrs. Hutchinson.
Hello.
How do you do?
Well.
I guess I could have learned a lot about Portland.
You could. I'm learning some of the...
Well,
history myself.
Mr. Lucia is the man that writes these books, I mean, he's on one now, but is it concerning Portland?
Yes. Well, I just wondered if you can think of anybody that might have... I've got track of one gal, she's 92, she lives up at the Tulsa Plaza, that was a public stenographer there for years. And I'm hoping I can talk to her, but there are very few of them around. The manager's dead now.
I can't recall anybody.
That was such an interesting old place.
Oh, yeah, well,
it should never have been torn down. Well,
I don't think so either. I hated to see it, but it's...
Well, the story is that Myron Frank really wanted the old post office property. And then when they couldn't get that, they took this other. And of course, old Aaron Frank, those fellows didn't care anything about preserving anything.
No,
just the dollar was
there. Dollar.
But at the time it was sold to them, from what I've been able to glean, apparently there was no indication that they were going to tear it down. They were going to run it, lease it out and run it. It was an investment. They ran it until after the war, and then they, lo and behold, decided to...
Yeah, that was a shame. I think if we're standing now and...
They wouldn't get away with it now. No. Not the way people are.
By golly, I bet you a dollar and a quarter would be patronized.
I think it was all brick, as I remember. All brick.
Stone, great big stone.
Stone, great.
started in the 80s by Henry Villard, the railroad man, you know. And then when he went broke,
It was started in the 80s?
Yeah. When he went broke, it just lay there, partly finished, for years. And then finally the community finished it. A bunch of the business people got together and invested the money, people, the Ladds and the Corbetts, and invested the money to finish the thing as a community venture. Because they needed a good hotel in Portland. Yeah. Well, you can think of anybody that was ever connected to that place. You don't even have to go clear back. I'd like to know what even... Golly, the records at the Historical Society are pretty scant on what it looked like. Somebody remarked, well, they had the biggest bathtubs you ever saw. It'd take a reservoir to fill one. Well, this is something I didn't know. I'd like to know what the fixtures were like.
I was never in it. I certainly do remember. So.
I was only in it twice and then just through the lobby. And
That's about my experience, too.
I was just a kid starting in this business, and I went in it just to, because I thought, well, now they're going to tear this thing down. I better get a look at it while I can. But it was kind of hoity-toity for, you know, us. It looked like something that only the wealthy would go in, you know.
Well, it was, it was an outstanding hotel, period. Yeah. The entrance, remember, the road running. I can't think of anybody unless... We have a friend that has lived in Portland since about 1915. Mm-hmm. She's a person 90 years old, but very sharp, Mrs. Schrader. And we'll be visiting her in the next few days, and I'll talk to her about it. And if she can give us any lead, I'll contact her.
Okay, fine. Best time to call me is in the morning. Because I'm out in the afternoons, and of course, this right now I'm in and out. Of course, you can usually get me in the evening too.
Now you have two numbers listed, I noticed.
Well, yeah, there's my mother's number. She takes calls when they can't get me,
I'll use the number you gave me, and if I can't contact you,
well, just tell her that you called, and then I'll call you. You see, that's what I use her for. She's kind of an answering service.
Comes in handy.
Yeah. Because the wife works, and you know, it just makes it easy for us to get called that way. Well, yeah, if you can think of anybody on that.
And then he had the...
Just a minute, let me put this on the bill. Take this back.
Okay. He had that drum company, and it was right down on the riverfront. And when the boats came in, well, his grandfather worked there for him in this.
Mm-hmm.
And when the boats would come in there, sometimes they'd bring him gifts of the animals. And he kept them around there till he had quite a few of them. And they owned property up there where the zoo is. Mm-hmm. And so he gave that to the city and then started it with the animals that he had down there. Mm-hmm. Now, Marion Miller could tell him more about that, couldn't she? Not Mary Miller, but what's her daughter's name? They're Mike's cousins, his mother's cousins.
There's a local gasoline fuel oil.
But Mary Miller used to write
about the Goodall.
Goodall, yeah, the Good Oil Company. His wife is a daughter of this Marion Miller, who was a daughter of the knight, or a niece of the knight who did that. And she used to write for the Oregonian, as Mary Miller did.
Oh, yes.
And that was his mother's cousin.
I'm done. Well, the first zoo was up there in Washington Park, though, wasn't it? It wasn't where it is now.
This zoo is now, but I mean that's the real part.
Yeah, the
zoo
Washington,
as it started.
Yeah,
as it started.
The Washington Park Zoo.
Seems like I had a write-up about that. It was in the paper all about that. We could find it.
Well, I can probably dig some of that out. The Historical Society will probably have some of that.
This night that Allie speaks of, the night drug company, there was a night drug company.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's maiden name was Knight.
Oh, I see.
It was her uncle that started this. Night's drug company. Would just snapshots of the community help you in any way?
Oh, they might. I really haven't thought too much about the pictures yet because I wanted to get the script done and then see what I could do.
Well, if the pictures would tell a story, it would give you an idea, see.
Would you excuse me?
Yeah, you bet.